It's Breakfast Club Day. Let's go back to the Ponderosa Steakhouse on North Meridian Street, Portland, with the man on the scene, JB, John Boggs.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Got my coffee. I am raring to go.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
On my third cup, and I've got Jim Brewster here with me. Do you know Jim?
I'm pretty sure I do.
Okay.
I don't know if he knows me, but I know him.
Okay, well, he's shaking his head. Yeah, he knows you.
Okay.
So he knows who to look out for.
Yeah, watch out.
Okay. Well, Jim, you know, we've told our listeners that we're going to talk about the homeless shelter a little bit, but, you know, people in Portland, don't think much about a homeless problem here. You think, when you talk about the homeless, you think more about larger cities and things like that, but the shelters, I understand, usually has someone in it, doesn't it?
We're pretty much always full. I wouldn't say we have as big an issue as some of the larger cities, but there's definitely a problem in Portland, and we do everything we can to address that.
Yeah. How many people can the shelter accommodate?
If we double bunk as much as we can probably get up to 20 in there. I'd say perfect capacity is probably 12 to 14. Right now we have 8. Uh-huh. That includes 2 children.
Okay. And you're president of the board, right?
I am.
Okay.
We have a 9-member board that governs us. We are a not-for-profit. The majority of our funding comes from the United Way.
Okay.
The rest is all private donations. We receive no tax money.
Okay. So, and then throughout the year, you can accommodate up to 20, but you usually have someone in there all the time, right?
Yeah, we have a gentleman that lives there. We have an apartment in the back of the shelter. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much on call 24 hours a day. He takes care of, like, the daily activities. He makes sure the refrigerators are stocked with food and lets me know if we're short on anything. And then, of course, him and I discuss anything that's going on during the day.
Okay. Now, I know you get, we're talking about donations. There's some donations that you really appreciate from people, others that you just really can't use. If you would, tell our listeners some of the things that you can use and would appreciate getting as a donation as opposed to those that you can't.
Well, first of all, the main thing that's a great donation is always going to be financial.
Yep.
That's number one. Probably number two, I would say, would be non-perishable food items. Canned soups, canned vegetables, boxed potatoes, things like that. We always run a little bit short, but the fine people of Portland and Jay County always come through for us.
What about paper products and staples and things like that?
We have some local religious organizations that are really good about donating paper products.
Okay.
We rarely have an issue with that.
Okay.
We're pretty well stocked all the time.
Toiletries, things like that?
Yeah, yeah. We're okay on that. We
okay.
do get donations. That is something that we certainly would accept, mm-hmm. that we can always use it.
Now, what are some of the things that people try to donate that really are not appropriate or that you're not in a position to utilize?
Really, we really don't need used clothing.
Okay.
I know everybody means well, but we get so much of it we can't store it. But clothing wise, I can tell you what we could use. We could use some new clothing, especially for children. Undergarments, socks, t-shirts, perhaps even shoes, things like that. It seems like we always have a need for.
Okay. What about around Christmas time? Do you do anything for the children of the families there?
We do. Some of the board members do help out. We try to make Christmas a little bit better for the residents as much as we can. We encourage them to go to the community Thanksgiving meal. Other activities, local churches during the holidays.
Okay. Now, you know, it's funny, my first experience years and years and years ago with homeless people in Indianapolis, my daughter was in junior high and went downtown Indy and interviewed homeless people, and I was appalled. I went down with her because I was afraid for her safety. which was my limited point of view. Mm-hmm. And when I got down there, I started talking to some of these people, and you know, I was thinking, there by the grace of God goes me, because they were just regular, ordinary people that had an extraordinary event happen in their life that caused them to become homeless. Tell us a little bit about some of the families that come in there, and some of the problems that you've seen that are kind of unusual, that throw someone into a position like that.
I would have to say probably the first problem, mm-hmm. I really think substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the money these individuals may receive, they make choices, they spend their funds on things they shouldn't, then they end up homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do we provide them with a safe, warm, secure environment, and mm-hmm. we provide them with something to eat, that we also try to provide mentoring services from local religious organizations to try to encourage them to make better choices.
Okay.
I have to say the local churches are a big help.
Uh-huh.
For JLAN Homeless Shelter. They do donate on a regular basis, and we appreciate that. We also appreciate United Way. Mm-hmm. United Way provides over 50% of our funding, and if I remember right, United Way's campaign is going on right now.
It is.
So if you haven't donated yet, please do so. JLAN does receive from United Way.
Okay. Well, we're going to go back to Jeff and pay a few bills. When we come back, we're going to find out how people might be able, some other ways people might be able to help you out at the homeless shelter.
Okay.
But right now, let's go back to you, Jeff.